Good evening, everyone. In case you haven't known, it's raining out there. It is raining. And so I had to go take care of something at one of my centers there in Eastman. Wasn't even raining in Eastman. Got back on the road, man. That's God's weather. And all I can say is thank God for His weather. And so when you leave from here, drive accordingly. That's all I can do. We found in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, what was read into your hearing, you find where the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church. The church, not a church, but the church. God added to the church. They didn't vote. They didn't come together as the apostles did. You know, in Acts chapter 1, let's look at something in Acts chapter 1. It's interesting. They had a misconception of the kingdom, did they not? And so the Lord told them, in a sense, paraphrasing, it's really not your business to know what the Lord, what the Father does and when He does it and how He does it. That's the Father's business. And the same applies to us today. What God has revealed unto us, that's what He wants us to do. What, you know, you ever got in trouble with your parents because you put your nose in as a child in grown folks' business? That's what you got to understand. God has revealed unto us what He wants us to do. And that's what we need to be concerned with. And so when they, in verse 15 of chapter 1, God blessed them and God commanded the other apostles to select one who would do what? Who would take the place of Judas, right? And so what happened? God allowed them to cast their lot for Judas. I mean, a replacement for Judas. But when it came to becoming a member of the church, we don't find any such activity taking place, right? And so what are we saying? We're saying that when God says do something a certain way, that's what God expects of us as members of the body of Christ. Earlier this morning, we touched on something from Daniel chapter 5. And we're going to go back to the Old Testament a little bit tonight as well. Well, let's go to Proverbs, first of all. As the wise man is teaching his son, let's look at something in Proverbs. We got to tie all of this in together. Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 7 starting there. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, here's a father talking to a son. And so we can entitle our lesson tonight, we can title it, rather, the young and forgetful. We're still dealing with that theme about young people. Now, why is he saying this to a young man? Don't old people forget things? But now listen to what he says. He says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and do what? Forsake. Pay attention to that adverb. N-O-T. Forsake what? Not. And so the reason why some of us and some of our children get in trouble is because they have forsaken what? They have forsaken the instruction they received during the years. And so some of you will stay up late at night crying and wonder, why did my children doing this? Because they're hard-headed. Because they don't care. And the first person they want to call is the same person they didn't want to listen to. I talked with somebody yesterday and I was telling them, I said, I got family members, when they quote destitute, as it were, when they are destitute and they need a helping hand. You know what I mean by that. They don't want a helping hand. They want you to help your hand to your back pocket and give them some money. And I always tell them, I say, well, you know what? My advice and my money go hand in hand. You can't take one without the other. They don't want to hear what you got to say, but they certainly want your money. And so the same applies to our children from time to time, right? And here we have, he's telling his son, do not what? Forsake. Don't forsake instruction. Why? Because you're setting yourself up for what? For failure. You're setting yourself up for failure. And so, some of us learned the hard way, did we not? Our mama told us and our fathers told us what was right, what was honorable, what was just. And we decided we would go out here and do what we want because they don't know what they're talking about. Alright? They don't know what they're talking about. And so, he tells his son, he says in verse 9, it says, forsake not the law of thy mother. And so, what is God saying? God is saying to us, parents, as we were talking earlier today, parents, you have a what? You have a duty to your children. And it's just not the father, but it's the mother as well. I've heard people say, well, Ephesians 6 only says the father. Well, it is implied because you read what the Bible says about Timothy and his mother and grandmother. So you know what that tells me? That tells me God expects mama to know her Bible. And God expects daddy to know his Bible. And God expects mom and daddy to work together in concert just like we see in Aquila and Priscilla. That's what God expects. So he says in verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace or favor upon thy head and chains about thy neck. And he goes on to warn his son to stay away from certain people. Do we not tell our children that? But they somehow forget. When they go to school, they forget that this boy over here stays in trouble with the teacher. They forget, as it were, that I don't need to be friends with this child. I don't need to be friends with him. Why? He's going to end up in the principal's office. I'm going to end up in the principal's office. His mom and dad is going to come down here and they want to curse out everybody. They're going to kick him off the campus. My mom and dad are going to come down here and they're going to take me up. And then tomorrow, after I got the whipping last night, I'm right back over there with him. But then grown folk do the same thing. What is God saying to us? You are as good, oh, here it goes, that old cliche. You are as good as the company you were. You are as good as the company you keep. I just can't deal with all of this, but let's go to chapter 3. Now, the first thing he says, forsake not. But in chapter 3, now in verse 1, he says, my son, forget not. And so we do things. Why do people speed? Is it because they don't know? They've forgotten? Don't try that with the police. I forgot what the speed limit was. Don't try that. Just accept your punishment, right? Accept your punishment. And so God says, son, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And he says, here is the benefit in verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to thee. Why do some fools die early? Why do some fools die prematurely? Because they have neglected. They have neglected what the Bible says. A heathen can take and benefit from what? He can benefit from the word of God, right? And so, in chapter 4, listen what he says. He says in verse 1, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Here's that word again. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved, in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Look at verse 6. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. You know, they try to tell us in our teens and when we're 20 years old and in our 20s, you need to start putting some money aside for your retirement. And that sounds like crazy. Because, man, I got to go get those Jordans, right? I got to go get what's new out here. What are you talking about, man? You're talking about something 47 years away. Then you get 30. And somebody says, hey, man, you need to save some money. Your retirement coming. Oh, man, I got time. You get 40. And they tell you, oh, man, I got time. 50 comes. Your body starts to change on you. Now you start to understand what the old people were talking about. These days. And the Bible calls them evil days in Ecclesiastes 12. Oh, you can't do what you used to do. Now you're going to the doctor more often. See, you used to just go to visit the doctor once a year. And he said, oh, man, everything is okay. But this time the doctor said, well, I need you to do a follow-up visit. Follow-up? What? Follow-up? What is that? Oh, we got to talk about some things. You got to make some changes in your life. You got to change your diet. He asked you, he said, are you getting enough sleep? Well, you know what? You come to think of it, oh, I toss and turn all night. And you begin to remember what someone told you 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Life is going to catch up with you. It's going to catch up with you. See, all these children want today is they want Xbox, they want PlayStation, they want Wii. That's all they want. They want access to the internet, everything they can get their hands on to play with. But then you ought to teach that child and start teaching him at a young age. I think Brother Willie was talking about Brother Terrence's daughter. He said, mom and daddy said, we'll get you what you need, but you got to go out here and get it yourself. And they going around cutting the grass. Some of them you can't even get to cut their own grass at their own house. Y'all don't even know anything about the little mower with no motor. You had to go out there and push that thing. That thing gets stuck. They don't know about that. They don't know about a sling blade, brother. They don't know about that. You want to build up? I can get you a workout at the same time. I'm going to take you out here to the country and get you a sling blade. Go out there. You better do it right and Ned Lambert be right on you. If you ain't doing it right, he's got that belt to get you. So many of them, as it were, only get in their 20s. We got an epidemic going on in the church. Oh, as soon as they get away from home and they forget who they are. They forget. Why did I read Acts 2:47? Because we're talking about the church. They forget, as it were, that they're members of the church. They forget how to act. They forget how to dress. They forget how to conduct themselves. Although they heard it for 18 years, and, you know, they move away, and mom and daddy call them and say, have you found a church yet? 5 months later, well, you know, I'm still looking. I'm still visiting. You are, huh? So you can't find the church. You can't find that for which you're not seeking. And so he tells his son, what are some things that, let's go over to Daniel chapter 5. What happened in Daniel chapter 5? Let's see. Chapter 4, granddaddy, Nebuchadnezzar, God humbled him, didn't he? God humbled him. And here you have, as it were, I don't know if Daniel wrote these words or if Nebuchadnezzar himself wrote these words, because he's using a first person singular pronoun and using that subjective pronoun. He said, I thought in verse 2, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. So this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. And so I don't know if Daniel was as a scribe or whatever, but these are Nebuchadnezzar's words, as it were. It's out of his journal. This is what he's saying. He says, God humbled me. I had too much pride within me and God humbled me. And so in chapter 5, Nebuchadnezzar has died and gone on to his reward, as it were. And then Belshazzar, the king, his grandson, made a great feast. Now, we don't know how old this young man is. We don't know. But one thing we do know is that handwriting appeared on the wall. You know, the Bible tells us, oh, something happened to him. He cried out, as the Bible says, a finger began to write. And look at the Bible says in verse 6. Now, here he is. Oh, see, he's at the pub, at the club. He's having himself a great time. I guess something happened to me too, man, if I'm out here doing my thing. And next thing you know, some handwriting just shows up on the wall. Something's going to happen. And what happens? The Bible says his countenance changed. And his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote together. You ever heard him knock his knees? The boy was a little shaky now. He was a little shaky now. And the king cried aloud to bring the astrologers. He was troubled. And the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake. Now see, he forgot that there was a wise man. That's my first point here. He forgot that there were wise men in the kingdom. And that wise man was named Daniel, or Hananiah, Mishael, or Azariah. Remember, we read in chapter 2 earlier and in earlier studies what happened. God didn't give the understanding to these heathens or pagans. God gave the understanding to Daniel, and Daniel praised God in chapter 2. We read that earlier today. And so he forgot that there was a legitimate wise man in the kingdom. And he called for the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And this is what happens with some of our young people and some of those young adults in the church. You have been reared in the church. You have received godly instruction week in and week out. But as soon as something happens, because see, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people doing the wrong thing, you're going to seek the wrong counsel. And this is what he's doing. And the Bible says, the king spake and said unto the, quote, wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Well, well, well. He's offering a reward. And then came and all the king's, quote, wise men. But they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. See, there are some so-called wise men out here in the world. And if you're going to invest money, there's nothing wrong with investing money in a legitimate company. There's nothing wrong with that. But you better make certain when you're talking with somebody, they're going to tell you the ins and outs, the pros and the cons about investing. And so I don't want a man who just filed bankruptcy giving me some advice about finances, right? Huh? I certainly don't want an individual every week I see him. Hey, man, can you loan me, come on, can you spot me 20? What do you mean by spot you 20? To payday. And then I got to go find you to get my money. Brother Tim, I know what you said about, no, I'm going to get my money. Brother Tim said, oh, don't let the money, well, hey, you know, I'm weak, y'all pray for me, but I'm going to get my money. Nah, let me stop. What are we saying? There are some people in the world, they are wise in some things. But in matters of God, let it never be said of God's people, young adults, young people, older people in between, as it were, middle age as they refer to us, let us first seek counsel from God Almighty. Don't forget that there are wise men in the kingdom of God who will give you the proper what? Counsel you need in order to keep you on the right track. The reason why so many people, especially our young people as they launch out into life, the reason why they have so many problems, they quote, forgot the instructions of their mothers and fathers. And so, he said in verse 5, then the Bible says the king Belshazzar was greatly troubled. And his countenance was changed in him. And his lords were astonished. What happened? Oh, he probably was bold, you know. Oh, now, let me try that. This is so sad. The word swagger has been around forever. Now all of a sudden, that's the new word. Oh, he lost his swagger. Y'all, I got something new. It's new because you haven't been reading. That's what's wrong with some of y'all. Y'all got the TV. Turn that TV off on that internet. Read your books and Bibles. And so, his countenance so changed that they were astonished. Huh. Verse 10, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever, let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Huh. I can hear some wives now chuckling. If he only listened to me when he got lost, we would go, never mind. Where the hell did I get off on that? But now the queen knew something that the king should have known. Now look how she respected her husband. She said, O king. And now she did this publicly because that's what you were supposed to have done. Remember Vashti? Vashti wouldn't come. And he banished her. And that's how Esther became queen. Y'all read that in the book of Esther, haven't you? I know you have. And so what is she saying? Calm yourself down. There's a man. You haven't considered him. You can't find a righteous man if you're not living righteously. You're not seeking a righteous man. Right? And so, what happens? The queen reminds him, as it were, that there is a man in thy kingdom. Listen to what she says. In thy kingdom. You don't have to go cross town. You don't have to go over to another country and to another kingdom. Right here in your very kingdom. But he forgot that. How did he forget that? In whom is the spirit of the, quote, holy gods? And in the days of thy father, talking about her grandfather, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, as it were, was found in him whom King Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. How did the king forget all of this? For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, brethren, this woman, and you and I know by reading that, she was still a heathen, but something she recognized in Daniel. Daniel was a righteous man. Daniel was a man full of wisdom and understanding. And God's word will help you as a young man, a young woman. He would help you to give your best, and no matter what you are doing, whether it's an assignment here in Bible class or in school, whatever it is that you are seeking to do, if you are a Christian and you're trying to do right and you give your best, God will be with you and God will bless you. And so, he says he can interpret dreams. And look at verse 12. And showing of hard sentences. What does that mean? These riddles. He can solve, as it were, riddles, difficulties in life. And dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the, quote, gods is in thee. Now, see, grandparents have the tendency to teach their grandchildren, do they not? And so, his grandfather, you just read in chapter 4 how God humbled him. And it appears to me, and I'm convicted that he was converted because of his experience with God. But I'm here to tell you, God isn't going to do to you what he did to Nebuchadnezzar to bring you to conversion. But life can bring you low. It can, will it? It will. You live long enough. You're up in the valley. You're at the top of the mountain today. And tomorrow you're down here in the valley. Your life can be just like the stock market. There are individuals, you hear them now talking, because America has not been in an economical decline as it has been, as it is now, since the 20s, since the Great Depression. And some people don't know how to take it. And I laugh. I said, we were poor. We didn't know if we were in a recession or out of a recession. We were just not poor now, poor. And so all these people, what are we going to do? See, we never had that conversation. We didn't have to worry about, talking about some lady on TV telling me we're eating beans and Frank. I'm like, man, what's wrong with that? Just don't ever tell your mother chicken. And I actually said this, Brother Simmons. I say chicken. I'm tired of eating chicken. That's all we got. Mama said, low chicken, 19 cents a pound. You can eat it or else. And I was converted that day. And now, how is it that you're living in this kingdom? My grandmother, I never forgot, I was 10 years old, my father's mother. Now, I knew my mother, my grandmother on my mother's side. They love me because they always tell me these stories about their upbringing. But one day we were walking in the hot Georgia sun on a back road in Liberty County, Riceboro, Georgia. We were walking to the old store. Everybody could go down that little convenience store. That's all they had in that little town. And while we were walking, my grandmother was telling me about it. She always talked about her children. Of course, she had 7 of them. And she said, your mother's smart, your father's smart. She said, you know what? That means you two are going to be smart. And Ellen Lambert told me something that always stayed with me. Here we are, almost 37 years later. She said, son, you can do anything you want to do if you put your mind to it. That's what my grandmother told me. She was, everybody can tell you. I said, no, but when your grandmama, your mama, somebody like that tell you, somebody who has great influence in your life, it sticks with you. And I'm pretty persuaded that granddaddy told this boy some things. But, he still had to go out here and, get his groove on, as it were. He's throwing big parties. You know how it is. Yeah. Had the best DJ in town there. Uh-huh. But when the handwriting came on the wall, we got to stop the party. Stop the party. See, that's what's going to happen with some of y'all slipping in air. It's going to catch up with you. And so he says, verse 15, and now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me. We always say, and this is redundant, it's deja vu all over again, isn't it? See, this is the essence of the lesson. If this generation, the present generation, does not learn from the past generation, you certainly are set to do what they done before, that which is bad. History will, as it were, repeat itself. He said that
have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read this writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Go back and read what happened to Daniel in his grandfather's day and see what God did. And what was my point there? See, God can take you even in a corrupt situation and elevate his people, and he can use the heathen to bless his people, even in a corrupt situation. Verse 17, I love Daniel's response. Daniel answered and said before the king, this is a real man of God. Let thy gifts be to thyself. What is he saying? Keep your money and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make it known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Now, look at what Daniel is doing to this young man. He's going back a generation. He's going back two generations. He says, your grandfather, and this is Nebuchadnezzar, he said, let me rehearse some history for you. And, you know, I found young people who are destined to fail are the ones who don't want to hear what the elderly have to say about history. See, they don't understand. If people start talking about struggles and things that they don't know, because they have everything at their disposal. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew and whom he would kept alive, and whom he would have set up, and whom he would put down. Look how much power your grandfather had, son. Then he says, but when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed, from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling with the wild donkeys, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Wait a minute now. See, we are warned not to forsake the law of God. We were warned as members of the body of Christ, we still are, not to forget. And what is Daniel doing? Daniel said, oh, you knew about this. And see, Daniel's preaching from what? Not from his own experiences per se, but what message God gave him. This is the message he's telling this young man. You already knew about me. You already knew what God done to your grandfather, what he done through your grandfather, yet and still. Verse 23, he says, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And now, and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine. Now, you see, he threw the concubines in, didn't he? God, wait a minute. He's talking to this heathen, isn't he? And God is saying, even to this heathen, you should have respected my law pertaining to marriage. You know what he says? He says, and thou, and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. What is he saying? Young man, you have touched that which is holy and consecrated to God, and you have disrespected the Almighty. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. This sounds like Herod in John, Acts chapter 12. And the Bible says, then was the part of the hand set from him. And this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, you Pharisees.
This is the interpretation. See, those men couldn't even read it. Daniel said, I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to interpret it. And he says, the interpretation is this thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Wait a minute. Isn't this what he told his granddaddy? That one day your kingdom will fall and another will come? As a matter of fact, the Medes and Persians, even as a combined entity, they were not as strong as the Babylonians, but because God, quote, finished that kingdom, who was going to stand in the way of God? He said, had you been listening, you would have known these things were on the way. Huh. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. Wait a minute now. Let's go back to chapter 2. Let's go back to chapter 2. In verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face. Wait a minute, man. This is the king. And he just explained to this young man how powerful his grandfather was. He had the power. He could say, I want that man dead, and that man was dead. He had the power to say that man could live, and that man would live. People feared Nebuchadnezzar, and here comes this man, the most powerful man on the planet at that time, falling down before the man of God. Now, y'all going to get mad with me. I know you will. But if God gives me the opportunity, and if he lets me go to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, I'm taking my Bible, and I'm going to tell that young man in that White House, I'm going to tell him, sir, I pray for you every day, but I want you to know something. You need to know Jesus. You need to hear the word of God. And I'm hoping that he will be converted. And I'm hoping that he will change some of his doctrine. Don't get all caught up with this here, because I'm going to teach what the Bible teaches. I'm hoping he changed some of his views and his doctrines, you know, about the home. I don't have any gay brothers and sisters. Amen. I don't have any in my family, especially in God's family. I want you to know, sir, you need to know what the Bible says. You need to do what the Bible says, because I'm going to do just like Daniel. I'm going to tell you straight from God's word what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And so Daniel, the Bible says, he fell down and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet. Wait a minute now. Did you catch that? He wanted to treat Daniel like a god. And Daniel was just a messenger. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler. Wait a minute. So he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And isn't it so beautiful that Daniel did not forget his fellow Jewish brethren who were faithful to God. And now we come back and here Daniel's getting another, as it were, what? He's getting another promotion, right? But the Bible says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. His own men, as it were, they assassinated him. They took him out. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. You see, this young man, as it were, he forsook what his grandfather probably told him. And he, quote, forgot. But Daniel brought it back to his attention. And I'm going to tell you parents this, because some of you are so quick. Your children want to disrespect you and ignore what you say. And, oh, as soon as they get in trouble, you want to go run and get them out. No, 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 no. See, Daniel told this young man, now, mind you, this young man, he had the same amount of power as granddaddy did. And he could have said, who are you? Your old slave? You answer to me. I don't answer to you. But Daniel, because God was with him, and because Daniel wouldn't compromise, Daniel could have given him a message that would have soothed his ears. But isn't that something? You see how time caught up with him? The same day Daniel gave him the message, the same day he breathed his last. And so, I want to see all of God's people, young and old, prosper the way God says. But if you forsake, and if you forget that you are a member of the Lord's church, we're going back to Acts 2:47. God added to the church those who were saved. And you and I don't believe for one second, not even a millisecond, that a man, once he's saved, he's always saved. You must do what 1 Corinthians 15:58 commands of every Christian. I can quote it, but we're going to close with this verse. We want our young as well as our old to know. You got to live by this verse. You got to be ready to die by this verse right here. He said, therefore, concluding now his argument about the what? The resurrection. And what type of body we shall receive on that day of judgment. It is a day of judgment. See, I often say this, and I think I'm correct in my assessment. The last day of human history certainly will be a day of judgment. It's going to be a day of judgment for those who are not saved. But for those who are righteous and who are living righteously when the Lord shall reveal himself, that's a day of reward. And so we often say it's a day of judgment. We're not incorrect in stating that, but it's a day of reward because the Lord will say unto those who died in faith or those who are living righteously when he comes, well done, my good and faithful what? Servant. You have been a what? He says you've been a ruler. You've been faithful with few things, but now I'll make you a ruler. Did you not catch that? Let me show you. Let me break this down for you. He says you're going to leave the realm of a servant. And he says, I'm going to elevate you to the rim of a what? Did you ever pay attention to that? Now, we'll always be servants of God, even when we're in heaven, because there's but one God. And so he said, we'll become as the angels. And what are the angels? They are just what? Ministers of God, servants of God. And so all it is they are a class of servants and we are a class of servants. But God says, I'm elevating your status. When you get to heaven, and that's what I'm looking forward to, that I will be elevated, not because of I'm somebody, but because of the fact that God made me somebody, and God allowed me to be here, and then when I make it to heaven, I hope to see you there, but I can't make you go, you got to want to go yourself. And so, he says, brother, don't let your heart be troubled by those who are denying the resurrection, those even within the body. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What is God saying to us then? If we don't forsake him, if we don't forget him. See, some forgot God tonight. You see, on average, about 40. If you ever pay attention to that, morning and evening worship is always about a 40-member difference from morning to evening. Some of them lose their way back to worship, don't they? I don't forget who God is. I cannot forsake God because God made me the promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so, young people, this young man was young and forgetful. Did you not pay attention to what happened right at his very feast? Here he was. He could have been at the club. He could have been drinking his Cristal, whatever they call that stuff. Living it up. But when that hand, the Bible says, when the hand right at the side of the wall, what's going on? See, you can see him all at the club. Yeah. And they say, you know, that everybody, wait a minute, what's going on? See, things can happen so quickly in your life. You walking around like you're the baddest thing on the planet. Something happens so quickly. So quickly in your life that the man becomes a mice. Or a mouse. But if you're right with God. And did you notice? See, y'all, you always got to pay attention, close attention. See, Daniel wasn't at the club. They had to go find Daniel. Daniel was somewhere where he's supposed to be. And when Daniel came, Dan said, you took the holy things of God. And you around here drinking and having a party with the holy things of God? And you already know what God did to your granddaddy? And you already know how God humbled him? See, this is the foolish part of young people. You see something happen to somebody else, and you're so foolish to think, it won't happen to me. What's the difference between him and his granddaddy? God gave his granddaddy space to repent, and he did. This young man died the same day he heard the message. Same thing can happen to you. You're not a member of the body of Christ. You can leave out of here tonight. You see how this rain is coming down. We had to slow down. You know, you can't drive 55 or 60 all the time. That rain said you're going to slow down, and we did on that road. Now, a fool could continue to drive at a high rate of speed in bad weather. And that's how some people live, and that's how some people die. But tonight, you have an opportunity to become a member of the Lord's church. Simply by obeying the gospel. Once you repent, confess with your mouth, with your whole heart, and you are baptized straightway. Look at that young man. How he lost his life just that quickly. But almost all in here of accountable days, you've heard this message on so many occasions. Don't fool yourself. Think you're going to live to be 50, 60, 70, 80. Today is the day of salvation. You've got to make it right with God. And learn from this young man not to forget what somebody who's older is teaching you to help you make it in this life. The intent of every generation, if their hearts and minds are right, is to help the next generation become even better in their service to God. The lesson is yours. The invitation is yours. If you want to together stand at this time and sing the invitation song.